The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors. Great companies like Sun Warrior, the pioneers of plant-based protein. From the sun to the plant to you, go to sunwarrior.com to learn more about all the products and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Enviromedica, makers of Terraflora, a novel broad-spectrum symbiotic combining spore-form probiotics and advanced food-based ancient prebiotics. Find Terraflora and the full line of products at enviromedica.com. Castor and Pollux, the new standard in pet food, the only complete line of USDA organically certified pet food. Crazy Water, infused by Mother Nature, not some random factory. Paleo Magazine, now all digital. Go to paleomagazine.com to subscribe. The Wellbeing Journal, Veg World Magazine, the International Society of Sports Nutrition, and Thorne Research. Visit our dispensary at oneliferadio.com for 20% off and free shipping. You can find more information on all of our sponsors, including links to listener discounts, on the oneliferadio.com sponsor page. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior, live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. How you doing today, Junior?
Oh, man, doing all right. It has been a day, that's for sure.
I know, right?
So sorry. It has been... Yeah, I don't know. I got in here today and the board just wasn't all set up correctly and it's just been kind of a mess. Our guest didn't answer the phone, so I'm trying to get her back on. So
yeah.
I'm making it though.
It happens. It's live radio. That's what makes it so cool.
No,
that's what makes
you're exactly
it so real.
Right.
So. Yeah, I mean, you know, I talk about this all the time with anybody that'll listen as to why live radio still matters for a lot of reasons, you know, because you get truth, really. Unedited, raw, real emotion.
Yeah,
right?
It's what it is. All the mistakes and everything.
So. Yeah. Oh, and gosh, over the years, I've had so many. Until we get Bonnie on the line, I'll tell one of my most favorite stories. It was probably year one, and we had two doctors in studio, and then the patient. Okay. And it was this new treatment that they were using, and supposedly it had really helped this guy. So we go live, I introduce everybody, and the guy that's about to tell his great story with the two doctors about how healed he is collapses on the floor. Slides. He slid out of his chair and went down to the floor. And then the two doctors jumped up and went to go help him, of course, which left me live on the radio going, what in the heck am I supposed to do? I was so green back then. I wasn't prepared. I didn't have any backup. And I'm telling you, I wish I could go back and listen to it because I'm sure it would be hysterical.
Wow.
Have you had?
I got Bonnie back on the phone.
Oh, you got Bonnie.
So sorry. I was listening and then she answered. So I was talking to her. So still going back and forth, but she is on the line if you want me to get her on. Or
I do.
Ready for her? Okay.
I'm excited. It's
here
live
she is.
Radio. It's like, and what I was going to say is like Saturday Night Live, that's one of the reasons that show has had such unprecedented success for so many years. It's
for sure.
Because it's live.
Exactly.
And people make mistakes. And we love it when people make mistakes because it makes us realize that we're all human and we're all in this together. And I couldn't think of a better way to introduce our first guest, Bonnie Cook. How you doing today, Bonnie?
I'm doing good. How are you doing? It's good to hear your voice.
Yeah, good to hear your voice too. And today is World Mental Health Day. And Bonnie is the CEO and president of Mental Health America of Greater Dallas. And prior to assuming this role in April in 2018, she was the executive director of Mental Health America of Kentucky. And Bonnie has over 17 years experience working in the mental health field. She also serves on the board of directors of Mental Health America in Alexandria, Virginia. For more information on Mental Health America of Dallas, visit mhadallas.org. Always a pleasure. Bonnie, sincerest condolences right out of the gate. I heard that you lost your dog, and I don't want to make you cry, but I know how painful that can
be. Thank you.
You're welcome. What was your dog's name? Let's talk about him or her for a second.
Oh, her name was Lydia.
Aww.
And Lydia was a sweetheart. And yes, I'll tear up if we talk about her. But
well,
yes,
that's okay.
She was my rock and my little angel face.
Aww.
So
I always
wonder at people who don't tend to grieve when they lose a pet. I feel sorry for those people.
Something's wrong with
yes,
them.
They are our family.
they definitely are. And so, you know what? That just opens the up when your heart heals a little bit. There's lots of animals, lots of dogs out there that need a loving home, especially right now. So, you know, it's the ebb and flow of life. Mental health, right?
I've always said that I want to come back as, I've always said I wanted to come back as one of my dogs in my next life. So,
what kind of dog would you be? I think, I don't know what I would be. I definitely wouldn't be a Pomeranian. They talk too much.
Oh, no. I think I'd end up being a mutt dog. I think I'd just be a mutt dog. I'd just be a combination of all different aspects and different forms. And I'd be one of those little puppies that you weren't quite sure what they were. But that's what I would be.
Well, you know what? You're feeling it, and that's good. It's real. It's real emotion. It's live radio. And I love that you were able to share with us. And that's really what it's all about at the end of the day. When we can share and communicate with one another and help one another, that's what really makes the world, you know, a better place. And so mental health is a big deal. And World Mental Health Day is October 10th, right? And so can you can you tell us a little more about the history of this day and how did it start?
Well, it was first celebrated in 1992. At the initiative of the World Federation for Mental Health. And then more than 150 countries participated with it. And then so each October, thousands of people come to celebrate awareness of mental health. And I think for us in the United States, we tend to forget that there's mental illness across the world. And I think this recent pandemic has helped us all to realize that we are all in this together and that issues are global issues. And so World Mental Health Day was from that initial discussion. And then the United States has become more and more involved with World Mental Health Day as time has gone by since 1992.
Well, and so many experts are saying that there's going to be a huge fallout and mental health crisis because of the COVID-19 and so many children that have been affected by all of this madness that we've experienced. And of course, tonight are the presidential elections. I don't think that mental health is on the menu or on the agenda to speak about.
Not tonight. I think another night.
Yeah, but it's definitely something we all need to address because it affects everything. When our mental health is not well, we are not well as a nation, period. So, you know, each year, though, has a different focus for you guys. For instance, suicide prevention in 2019, young people in 2018, and mental health in the workplace in 2017. So the focus for this year is increased investment in mental health. I love that. Can you explain what this means?
I can explain what that means. When we talk about investing in mental health, not only are we talking about investing in government funding for mental health, we're also talking about investing in mental illness, investing in treatment, investing in access to care. We're seeing all the disparities right now, and we do not have parity with mental health. When you think about mental health and you think about going to see your psychiatrist or going to see your therapist, insurance companies in the past have limited the number of visits that you could have as someone in a mental health crisis. We wouldn't do that with anything else, with heart disease, diabetes. And so we're trying to make sure that there's parity across mental health and physical health. And then, you know, we've talked about it before, but the before stage four philosophy, that we don't wait till stage four to treat diabetes, cancer, heart disease. So why are we waiting till stage four to treat mental health? And so we are not investing in mental health at the same level we are investing in other treatments.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking. It is. on Sunday, I saw a very, very mentally ill man on the street, and it just broke my heart. And I wondered, how does that happen? Like, how does that happen when mental illness is something, like you said, you know, you don't wait till stage four. It's something you really have to get at the very beginning stages in order to get. So because it does spiral out of control, like anxiety and depression and so many mental health issues in this country. If we could just nip it in the bud, you know, it was, so we could save so much money and so much heartache for so many families that deal with mental illness.
Right. And we're talking about. You know, we don't live in a vacuum. Mental health treatment is expensive. You know, if you don't have insurance, to go see someone can be up to $300-$400.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have $300-$400, you know, lying around in my pocket, as do most people. So if you don't have insurance, if you're not employed and don't have insurance through your employer, if you don't, you know, have those services that you need to get to them, then of course, you know, we don't have access to medication. Then we don't have access to the counselor. And you can logically see how it spirals out of control and someone ends up on the street.
Well, you know, and I think that the rehabilitation business, if you will, is a racket. It's a total racket. You know, they get people in there. They charge exorbitant prices to the insurance companies. Basically, they get some counseling, yeah, but they put them on drugs, you know, pharmaceutical drugs for depression and anxiety, which can really just exacerbate any kind of mental illness and not getting to the root core. So much so, in fact, that if you choose a rehab that is more into natural medicine, most insurance companies will not pay for it, if not all of them. And that's a problem in itself.
Hey, with the phone line dropped, I'm working on getting her back right now.
I hate when that happens.
I know. Give me one second.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what? Why don't we go to break? We're at the breaking point right now, so we'll go to break. When we come back, more coming up with Bonnie Cook. It is World Mental Health Day, and we are talking about it here on One Life Radio. Stay tuned, everyone.
Out the corner of my eye, I saw a pretty little thing approaching me. She said, I never seen a man who looks so all alone. Could you use a little company? If you pay the right price, your evening will be nice and you can go and send me on my way.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior, and it's so good to have him with us. Junior, I really love having you on the air.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
I do. I love your energy. I love your voice, and
awesome.
It's going to be fun.
No, it is. I'm having so much fun today already. I mean, you know.
I like crazy a little bit.
Yeah, it's,
you know?
Not bad.
Who wants to have a boring radio show? I mean, come on. But I'm used to crazy because I grew up with a crazy brother. So
yeah, I hear
I did.
That.
And that's one of the reasons I love psychology so much. So if people are out there just listening for the first time, I did. I grew up with a schizophrenic brother, and you had to have a great sense of humor to deal with it because he had multiple personalities. And so some days he would be Jerry, and some days he would be Wendy, and some days he used to think that he was Elizabeth Montgomery at one point, too.
Oh, wow.
I know, right? So, and I'm not making fun of him. He's an amazing man. He's, you know, a grown man now in his 60s, and he's got such a heart of gold, and he's suffered so much, and we love him so much. Our family just adores him. And he lives in Houston, and I'm his caretaker. And that's why Bonnie and I can have such candid conversations about mental health. Right, Bonnie? Hello? I think we have a bad connection again.
All right, let me try. I'll call her right back.
Oh, no, there she is.
Here,
I heard
I'm
her.
Okay.
I'm here.
Okay. Did you hear what I said, Bonnie?
No, I didn't hear what you said.
Okay, forget about it. We'll start over. Let me just introduce you. This is it's actually kind of very comical that we're having such technical difficulties today. We're talking about World Mental Health Day. And I have to say, I feel very calm. I'm not flustered at all because you know
no,
what?
No.
It's all good. It's all good. Everything that you do, Bonnie, to help the world, a lot of people out there do, is just wonderful. And so World Mental Health Day is what we're talking about with Bonnie Cook. She is the CEO and president of Mental Health America of Greater Dallas. And so let me jump to this. What are some of the issues that countries face worldwide in regard to mental health services?
A lot of issues in other countries. It depends where you are. Some countries are farther ahead than the United States with mental health treatment. Mm-hmm. But the global economy loses about $1 trillion per year in productivity
wow.
loss due to depression and anxiety.
Wow.
But United States ranks probably about third for burden with mental health disorders in other countries. So India, China, and the U.S. are the countries most affected by anxiety, schizophrenia, and bipolar disorders.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are several countries that don't have as high of a prevalence of mental illness
uh-huh.
than we do.
Yeah.
Well, and then, of course, countries that are in more poverty areas, they wouldn't even think about mental health treatment or mental illness. You know, their issues are more making sure they've got clean water and food. So mental health doesn't even register on, mm-hmm. on their radar. But
wow.
there are some countries that are doing better work than we are on mental health.
Which countries are? Which countries get 5 stars?
Germany gets 5 stars.
Really?
Yes. They have a lot of preventative mental health education programs. So they have a program called Positive Education that's been implemented throughout the country.
Mm-hmm.
And so this positive education, so it's a focus on positive mental health as opposed to, you know, negative, but positivity, something that I know that you are well-versed in. But so positive education, they see a decrease in student dropouts, increase in student engagement. And so other countries are starting to notice that we do need to start addressing some of these issues in our school systems. And let's start addressing issues for in our education system. And when people are younger and start talking about positive mental health and resiliency, you know, when our technology doesn't work, and that resiliency and the ability to be yourself and the ability to say, okay, I'm mm-hmm. not going to be as hard on myself. I'm going to, you know, go with the flow. And that's
yeah.
something that we in the United States, we just don't do that very well.
Well, children are over-medicated. You know, they're expected to sit in their seats hours a day. There's no recess anymore unless you're like in a private school or a Montessori school. In fact, the Montessori method is probably superior. It's the best way to teach children, and it just happens to be Italian, by the way, Junior.
That's why it's the best.
But yeah, no, Marie Montessori, I mean, she nailed it beautifully. She was an incredible leader in the field of education. And so we do. We expect children to sit at their desk all day long. They're over-medicated. They don't get to play freely and get out into the natural world so their minds can develop. They don't need to be stuck in books, but yet that's the system that we're stuck with. And I actually was reading a really interesting article, Bonnie, over the weekend about how there is actually a homeschooling movement going on where, you know, a lot of parents are you know, reconsidering how they're educating their children. And many of them are choosing to school at home now just because they feel that their children are have more advantage and more mind development by being able to broach subjects that aren't following a certain curriculum that perhaps like if a child has an interest in electronics or whatever it may be or writing or whatever, they're more able to ease into that. Is that, am I making sense? I don't have the article in front of me.
Well, it's kind of like going with the flow and
yeah.
kind of, you know, discussing what your priorities are, what gives you meaning and purpose.
Yes.
And so if, you know, if we're able from homeschooling to look at our children and go, okay, this is what gives them meaning. This is what gives them happiness.
Yeah.
And we're not stuck in this rigid environment and this rigid structure of, you know, this is, we're going to do A, we're going to do B, we're going to do C.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we start talking about let's do Z first and not be stuck to a rigid standard.
Yeah, I think we definitely need to really, really re-examine the education system here in America and adapt some of the some of the curriculum and just cool things that they're doing all over the world in other countries. But what impact has COVID-19 in particular had on the number of people needing mental health services?
Our numbers have skyrocketed off the charts. I can't think of enough adjectives to describe. We do free anonymous online mental health screenings. Last year, we did 5,000 roughly screenings in a year. We did 5,000 screenings of last month. So wow. People are suffering. People are lonely. We look at our results from all these screenings that we're doing, and of course, it's on our website, mhadallas.org. Those screenings, the results we're finding out, that more than half of the people that take any screenings are lonely. Yeah. They are attributing their feelings of mental illness to being lonely. So this pandemic is turning around, and people are just isolated. They're lonely, and we are human beings that need that interaction, and we're not getting that.
I was saying the nursing. It is awful. And the nursing homes. I'm thinking about the nursing homes. I mean, it's just crazy. You've got people in their 90s that haven't seen family members for months and months, except through a glass window. That a lot of them are suffering from dementia. They don't understand. You can't really explain it to them. You know, it's just really, really sad. And I think that we really do need to consider mental health as being something that's a very detrimental effect, more so than COVID-19. On our citizens of this great country, right?
Well, I don't think I think, you know, there's no health without mental health,
right?
And I think the sooner that we start integrating our physical health and our mental health, the sooner that we're going to move forward as a community and as individuals.
Well, that's one of the reasons, you know, when I named and started One Life Radio 9 years ago, that's why I did. It was before people were really integrating them. One body, one mind, one life. They are all one. They all affect one another. And so that's why mental health is like so critical to your overall well-being, physical, emotional, mental, all of it. It's all included. But can you tell us about some of the events that that happen on this day for United for Global Mental Health, the 24-hour March on Mental Health? Let's talk about that.
Yes, well, that's got to be virtually this year. And we're having to do virtual walk about mental health. And so what a lot of mental health organizations are doing is trying to focus on mental health electronically and through websites. So here in Dallas, we are really focusing on those screenings at mhadallas.org. And on October 10th, we are promoting everyone to take a screening to measure their mental health and to find out where they are on their scale. Everybody has mental health. So these screens determine where you are on your scale of mental health. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're encouraging everybody to do. We're also encouraging everybody to go with the flow, take care of yourself, give yourself permission to not be perfect right now. And give yourself permission just to be yourself and to do what makes you happy and what makes your life have purpose.
Yeah, and follow the thumper rule, which is if you ain't got nothing good to say, then don't say nothing at all.
That's
or something,
it. That is
or something
exactly
like
it.
That. Because, yes, that's we all right. need to have understanding and kindness right now, especially with so many people suffering. And, anything else you want us to know today, Bonnie? How we
I
can
think
help.
That's about it. Like I said, I'm sending out happy thoughts and encouragement to everyone, and take care of your mental health. And if you need us, you can call us at mhadallas.org, and we will be there for you.
Yeah, and be contagiously positive
yeah.
instead of positively contagious, right?
Correct.
All right. I love you, dear,
okay,
dear
you
Bonnie. And take care of that broken heart from your little pup. And
I'll
when you're ready
it.
For another one, you let me know, because I've got some resources in that department. So, all right, everyone, stay
okay.
tuned. We have Dr. Will Bulsiewicz coming up. We're going to be talking about fiber and weight loss. He is the author of the book Fiber Fueled. He's great. You're not going to want to miss him. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio. We'll be right back. ready? Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior and our very special guest today. He's back, Dr. Will Bulsiewicz. He is a board-certified, award-winning gastroenterologist with a degree from Georgetown University School of Medicine. He was the chief medical resident at Northwestern Memorial Hospital and the chief gastroenterology fellow at the University of North Carolina Hospital. Dr. Bulsiewicz completed 8 years of formal research training, including a Master's of Clinical Investigation from Northwestern and Epidemiology Fellowship at the highly rated UNC Gillings School of Global Public Health and a grant from the NIH. His extensive research training combined with his award-winning clinical skills has made him an internationally recognized leader in digestive wellness and gut health. And Dr. Bulsiewicz is the author of the book Fiber Fueled, A Bold New Take on a Plant-Based Approach That Challenges Popular Keto and Paleo Diets. You can find him at his website, theplantfedgut.com. That's theplantfedgut.com. Always an honor to have you on the show. How are you doing today, Dr. Bulsiewicz? Oh my goodness,
Bernadette,
how are you?
I'm doing great. It's a pleasure to be here. You say my name very well.
I try.
It makes me wonder if you're Eastern European at all.
I dated a guy for a long time who was Eastern European. Hey. And so, yeah, but you know, I have a very dear friend, Dr. Isaac Montemary, who is also a gastroenterologist, and he and I laugh all the time because whenever I have him on the air, I just like, I don't know what it is, it's my dyslexia or what it is, but my brain kind of scrambles it. But I have to tell you, like your book, the more I read it and just get into it, it's extraordinary. It really is. And so let's talk about this topic today, fiber and weight loss. So is fiber fueled a diet plan, or does weight loss just happen when we include more fiber in our diet?
I think of a diet plan as this finite thing, meaning that, oh, I'm going to do 2 weeks or 30 days, or I'm going to do a detox. And that's not what Fiber Fuels, my book, is about. It's about creating a lifestyle that heals, where you have these healthy habits. And when you create healthy habits, when you have a dietary pattern that nourishes your body and that reduces inflammation, then a lot of the effort that's required, which I think of like a diet plan, is effort. Like, oh, I have to do this. I'm obligated to.
Right.
Let's throw that out the window and let's make this sustainable. Let's make it delicious. Let's also make it something that heals your body, makes you stronger, makes you healthier, makes you live longer with more vitality. So that's what Fiber Fueled is about. And Bernadette, speaking to the topic of weight loss, it's a fascinating thing that is going to blow a lot of people's minds to hear that you can eat without restriction, in abundance, and lose weight.
Absolutely.
You can accomplish your weight loss goals. And I am the perfect example of this because I lost 50 pounds eating this way.
Yeah, and your story is a great one. It's a great story, too.
Thank you.
It really is. And so, and I pardon the interruption. There's a little bit of a delay today. But, you know, tell your story, if you would, for people that maybe didn't hear you on the show the last couple of times, because it really is a fantastic story.
Yeah, well, picture this. I was a guy in my early 30s, you know, should have been on top of the world. You heard my accomplishments off the front of the interview that, mm-hmm. like, I was doing really well professionally. But on the inside, I was miserable. And I was exhausted. I had gained 50 pounds relative to what I weighed in high school. I had high blood pressure. I had high anxiety. I had low self-esteem, low energy, and was in a place where I was like, I was desperate for a solution. Something had to give. I tried to exercise my way out of it, and it did not work. No matter how hard I tried in terms of exercise, I could not accomplish my goals. And things changed for me when I became exposed to the reality that my diet was holding me back. I mean, I just really, it's crazy to think that I'm a medical doctor and trained at these great institutions and did not have any connection to the food that I was putting into my mouth, but I really didn't think that that was the problem.
Yeah,
and when I discovered that it was, it fixed everything.
Yeah, and so many doctors don't, because you guys really don't spend a lot of time training about nutrition, right? It's just, it's not part of the curriculum.
It's just not part of the curriculum. You know, we spend all of our time learning about the bazillion different drugs out there and all their side effects. And it's an unfortunate thing. I think that's something that is a flaw of our healthcare system. And that's why we have a reactive healthcare system where we wait until people are sick. You know, we need to change that. It's time for us to be preventative and attack things before there's a problem.
Yeah. Well, you know, yesterday I was hungry, so I was like, I need to eat something. So I grabbed a good old apple, an apple a day, you know, keeps the doctor away. And I had peanut butter with it. And it was, and you know, it kept me satisfied for hours. And I think that getting fiber in your diet can be easier than a lot of people think. But is there a formula for determining our necessary daily intake of fiber that you use?
Okay, I'm going to make this as easy as possible. I mean, you can make fiber very complicated. You can try to count how many grams of fiber you have per day. I don't do that myself, and I wrote the book on fiber. I count how many plants. There's a golden rule, Bernadette. The golden rule of eating is that diversity of plants is the most powerful predictor of a healthy gut. Mm. If you want a healthy gut, get more different varieties of plants into your diet.
Yeah.
So when I talk about fiber, I'm not as worried about grams. If you are eating a predominantly plant-based diet and you are getting as much variety as possible, you are eating a healthy diet.
Yeah, and it's not that difficult. You know, for example, tonight I'm making, I don't even know what you call it. A friend of mine brought some over and she was eating it in front of me. And I said, what are you eating? And she told me it was basically onions and zucchini that was fried with a little bit of olive oil and then tomatoes to give it some water. And it was like a stew. Well, I took it a step further and I serve it on a bed of rice. And I've got this wonderful meal. So tonight, you know, after looking at your website, I'm seeing like beets and, avocado and pepper and all these things, these beautiful images of vegetables and fruits on here. And so I'm going to incorporate a couple more colorful vegetables in that stew tonight. And I have to tell you, it was so delicious. Just a little bit of salt and pepper. You know, if you like garlic, you can add garlic to it, but it doesn't have to be difficult, does it?
No, not at all. I mean, that's a perfect example. You got the stew, add more variety. You have the chili.
Yeah.
Add a few different types of beans. You got the spaghetti sauce. Okay, how many vegetables can I get into my spaghetti sauce? I bet you I can get about 10.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be that complicated.
Yeah, case in point, you can take, when you're making spaghetti sauce, I had spaghetti last night for dinner on Meatless Monday.
Yeah.
My veggie Italian sausages because, ooh, I love fennel, which is a really good vegetable for you too. But you can always grate carrots into the tomato sauce to get that fiber in there. Especially for the kids, they'll never know the difference. And, you know, carrots are naturally sweet. And it's just it's an easy way to incorporate, as you said, vegetables into these simple meals. It doesn't have to be complicated.
At all. Mushrooms, onions, garlic, zucchini. You can even put kale or spinach in there. You get the fresh basil. You know, there's so many options. And it's like you said, you take your kids and you bring them into the kitchen and you allow them to participate in the cooking. And then they're so proud of what this concoction that they've created that they want to eat it too. And the whole family can dine and feast. And so can your gut microbes. They can thrive as well.
Well, yeah. And, you know, Junior's our new producer and he's half Italian and half Jewish. And I'm guessing because he's Italian, we haven't had a lot of chance, you know, to get to know each other before, you know, we brought him into the show. But Junior, I have to ask you, being Italian, do you cook a lot at home?
I do the grilling and my wife does the cooking because okay. my wife is Italian as well.
That's right. She's Italian.
Yeah.
Too.
Her father actually is from Sardinia. So she does all the cooking and she's amazing at it.
Well, yeah, and the blue zones, you know, those are the people that eat the best and live the best. They have the greatest longevity, right? Because they eat a lot of plants. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Bernadette, I love the blue zones. So Sardinia is a perfect example of one of the five blue zones. These are the five places around our planet where people are living to be 100 years old at a rate that is off the charts. And it's not just aging. It's healthy aging. These people have vitality in their 90s. They are enjoying their life. They're enjoying their family. And so we've asked the question, what is the secret? You know, what's the secret to these people who are living so healthfully? And what they've discovered is that there's these patterns to all five blue zones. By the way, the five places for the people who are at home and curious about this are Sardinia, which is off the coast of Italy, mm-hmm. Ikaria, one of the islands in Greece, Okinawa, Japan, the Nicoya Peninsula in Costa Rica, and finally, right here in our country, not that far from Dallas, you can go out to Loma Linda, California, And that's where the Seventh-day Adventists live. And they live, on average, 10 years longer than the average American.
Yeah.
So, and what's interesting, Bernadette, is that in all these places, they eat a predominantly plant-based diet, farm to table.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, what about juicing? You know, people are still, they're, first of all, juicing, you buy the juices, okay? They're very expensive, anywhere from like $6 to $9 for, a small bottle, right, typically. Is that a waste of money? Just ask you straight. Or,
Well, Bernadette, the food industry wants to take advantage of the fact that we have a craving, that we have a sensitivity to sugar and to salt. And juicing is an example where basically they're trying to get to that bliss point where they can sell us as much juice as possible by making it very sugar rich. Mm-hmm. A sugar beverage, whether it comes from a healthy juice or not, is still a sugar beverage. Why remove the fiber and throw it in the trash? That is the most important part of the fruit or the vegetable. I do think that juicing can be healthy when it's a bitter juice because it can have phytochemicals. But if you give me a choice, hey, Dr. B, smoothies or juice? It's always going to be smoothies, Bernadette.
Yeah, of course. But I love having you on the air. It's so great. I love how down to earth you are, Dr. Bolsiewicz. I really do. And your book, Fiber Fueled, is amazing. So much great information in it. But we're going to go to break real quick. When we come back, everyone, I'm going to talk to Dr. B about grains. I know a lot of people want to know about that and all the carbohydrates. We're going to talk about it right here on One Life Radio with Dr. Will Bolsiewicz. He is the author of the book, Fiber Fueled. We will be right back.
My tail in the air.
Junior, everyone, you are listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette, and we are on the line with Dr. Will Bolsiewicz. He is a board-certified, award-winning gastroenterologist with a degree from Georgetown University School of Medicine, and he was the chief medical resident at Northwestern Memorial Hospital and the chief gastroenterology fellow at the University of North Carolina Hospital. Dr. Bolsiewicz completed 8 years of formal research training, including a master's of clinical investigation from Northwestern and epidemiology fellowship at the highly rated UNC Gilling School of Global Public Health and a grant from the National Institute of Health. His extensive research training combined with his award-winning clinical skills has made him an internationally recognized leader in digestive wellness and gut health. And he is also the author of the book Fiber Fueled, a bold new take on plant-based approach that challenges popular keto and paleo diets. You can find him at theplantfedgut.com. That's theplantfedgut.com. Okay, we said we were going to talk about grains before we went to break. So let's talk about grains. So much controversy around grains. So what's your take on it? How important are they in our diet?
Grains, I think that grains are one of the foundational pieces of a healthy gut microbiome. And part of the reason why is because they are a great source of fiber, of resistant starches, and of these prebiotic, what we call polysaccharides. All of these things help to feed the microbes in our gut. We call that prebiotic. And it's important because everyone, it's become very trendy to kind of like toss the grains out and say, oh, I'm going grain free. Mm-hmm. And then when when we study that, what we find is that the people who are doing this expose themselves to increased risk of having a heart attack, mm-hmm. which is the number one killer in the United States. And so we should not be making dietary choices that increase our risk of our number one killer. We should be doing the opposite, reducing our risk.
Yeah, the ketogenic diet, you know, it's interesting. We were one of the first places, I think, in media talking about it over 7 years ago, before it was real popular. And it is effective at fighting the seizures from, oh my goodness.
In children. Yeah, from epilepsy.
Epilepsy, thank you. Yes, yep. And so I understand that, but I don't feel that it's healthy to eat, you know, big globs of cheese wrapped with bacon, you know, just to keep your yourself in ketosis. That's very counterintuitive to me as someone who's been on a Mediterranean diet most of my life.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and the evidence, Bernadette, in terms of long term, is really on the side of a Mediterranean diet or a predominantly plant-based diet. And the, the concern is that you can study dietary changes and the effect that they have, you know, over 4 weeks or 3 months, something like that. That's not the same as looking at what is your risk for these latent diseases like heart disease, like cancer, you know, like diabetes or chronic kidney disease. Those are the top killers. Those are the top killers. And so we need to know, you know, when we make these dietary choices, what is the effect that it's having on these latent diseases? And that's where we have to use the best available information to use inferences, because there's never going to be a randomized controlled study looking at whether or not the ketogenic diet, you know, protects us or increases our risk of heart disease. But all the evidence suggests that it increases the risk.
Yeah. What do you say about someone being gluten intolerant? Is it really the gluten, or is it the way that the wheat has been raised with all of the glyphosate and all of the pesticides, you know, that are sprayed on our wheat now?
Well, you know, let me just say this is a complex topic, and you and I could probably do a whole half hour on just this.
Yeah.
And when I speak to gluten, I'm not encouraging people to make gluten or gluten-containing foods the backbone of their diet. But when they've studied this, they did it real quick. They did an interesting randomized controlled trial where they took a group of people who were gluten intolerant and they gave them 3 weeks worth of breakfast bars. 1 week was a placebo. 1 week the bar contained gluten. And 1 week the bar contained fructans, which are a type of FODMAP.
Mm-hmm.
And they looked to see how people did, and here's what they found. Believe it or not, they had more symptoms with a placebo than they did when they consumed gluten.
Oh,
very
wow.
Clearly, the gluten was not triggering their symptoms.
Mm.
What was triggering their symptoms were the fructans. Fructans are the FODMAPs you will find in wheat-containing products, and that's what was causing the trouble.
Wow.
So at the end of the day, people who are gluten intolerant, it may be more that they're actually fructan intolerant and not gluten intolerant, and we've given it the wrong name.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've only got about 4 minutes. I have so much I want to ask you, but I want to ask this since it's Tuesday. we call it Teatless Tuesday here at One Life Radio, but what are your thoughts on dairy?
Okay, so dairy, the issue that I have with dairy is it's a little bit hard to tell because the dairy industry has been better than anyone else at basically weaponizing research for decades. They fund the research, and then you should not be surprised that when they fund the research, it says that dairy is good for you.
Mm-hmm.
When we take a step back and we look at things that don't have that inherent bias, we don't find the same results. You know, for example, when you look at population-based studies out of the Scandinavian countries, believe it or not, Bernadette, we find that people who consume more dairy are at more risk, higher risk, for developing fractures.
Wow.
And so... So I think that there's a lot there that is concerning. It's very high in saturated fat.
Right.
And we definitely have a link between dairy and prostate cancer. That's quite indisputable at this point. From my perspective, you know, I think that we're better off. And let me just say this. In my gastroenterology practice, you would not believe how many people I see improvements in their digestive health because they eliminate dairy. It's one of the first things I will do, because it helps so many people so quickly.
Well, yeah, and it's so addicting. You know, I'm looking at some books on top of my desk by Dr. Neil Barnard. I'm sure you know him. You know, he wrote the book, The Cheese Trap, Your Body in Balance. He's all about the plant-based diet as well. And I do think it's very damaging, and it's very addicting. It's very, very addicting, dairy. It is one, I think, it's very hard to come off of dairy.
Cheese in particular.
Cheese
and ice cream are so
not milk. Yeah. Cheese. You know what? Have you ever tried Natamu? I'm going to give a shout out for them if you haven't. It's a company in Austin that makes coconut milk, ice cream, ice milk. It is to die for. It is so good. But there's a lot of great companies out there that are doing that. But cheese is the one that's the most addicting. I haven't drank cow's milk, I don't know, in 15, 20 years. But the cheese still gets me a little bit here and there. You know, it's very tempting, right? Oh, I hear the music.
Yep. Right. I hear it too.
Oh my gosh. Love being on the air with you. A crazy show today, and but still fun. We got a lot of good information out, and your book, Fiber Fueled, is amazing, Dr. Bolsiewicz. So everyone out there listening, I encourage you to get a copy. I gave mine away, actually, over the weekend to a fundraising with a basket of goodies from One Life Radio. So you and Ryan Holiday were in the basket together.
I love that.
All right. I better go. I won't be able to kick the field goal here and end the show. But everyone, thank you so much for listening. Dr. Bolsiewicz, thank you so much for jumping on the air with us today as well.
It's my pleasure to come on, Bernadette. Thank you much.
We'll talk soon. Everyone, you get one body. Thank you. You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.